Well, fancy that. The ones and the zeros have coalesced in the proper order once again to bring you The Diner, built in 1939 and looking exactly as she was the day she was put up. But it's not 1939, it's 2006. To be specific, Friday, April 21st. Welcome. Could I get some more red lead down here? And some Tabasco? Well, all three kinds, yes. And some mustard. Yes, yes, more mustard. French's if you got it. Thanks. Some days you just have to have a burger. Of course, it means different things to different people, doesn't it? For me, a burger is a hamburger with cheese, pepper cheese, cheddar, smoked, I don't care. And then ketchup. Maybe a dash of Tabasco, pepper, and a lot of good mustard, and a crisp, crunchy onion. To some people, it means, well, a California style. I've never liked that. Partly because I spent a lot of time in the restaurant industry and spent many a grim, dateless Friday nights in my waiter's uniform putting together the setups, as we call them, the tomato and lettuce that would identify something as being appropriately Californian in the burger terms. But still, aesthetics aside, it never did anything for me. Oh, I'll take a tomato on my hamburger, sure. But I'll take it in the approved American fashion, which is pureed, converted into ketchup with sugar added. The idea of that seedy, mealy thing sitting on top of my burger. It's like a crime scene. I know, some people, and some people like the lettuce. Some people love the crunch. The crunch does it for them in burger terms, but not for me. Something very wrong about it. I mean, a lettuce piece is the antithesis of the hamburger. You got the hamburger meat on one hand, and on the other side of the continuum, you have the lettuce, right? I mean, I'm afraid to introduce them onto my plate and put them in the same proximity lest they touch and there be some antimatter-matter reaction that tears the entire universe asunder. Of course, it doesn't happen because people put lettuce on their hamburgers every day and the universe survives. Or does it? Maybe that's the answer to the whole multiverse theory. You've heard of that. It posits that there are different universes and that every single action that we do creates a new universe. I'm paraphrasing. That all possible possibilities are played out in the great infinite reaches of space and infinite dimensions. For example, if I lean forward here and pick up this fork, there is a universe in which I do not pick up the fork. I don't know how detailed it gets. I don't know if, you know, for example, if there's a universe in which I reach for the fork but stop halfway, and there's a universe for the fact for my hand being 3/4 of the way toward the fork. I mean, I don't know how it works. Probably doesn't. But let's say that's true. And let's say that every time somebody puts lettuce on top of a hamburger, it completely destroys the universe, and our consciousnesses all slip off to the next possible universe, where then somebody will do the same damn thing and blow up the universe, and our consciousness will then pass on to the next version of the multiverse. It's possible. If it's true, I'm going to put in for some mileage allowances here for my consciousness. But who knows? Who knows? You know, I should just eat my burger instead of looking at it and talking about it. Hi, folks. Welcome to The Diner. I'm James Lilacs, and I am sitting here, as you might expect, at the long boomerang pattern formica counter at the old diner out on old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. What shall we do today? Besides take a bite. Oh, man. Sour cream, too. And the onions are chopped. And the bun, I'm not sure it's rye. It's brownish. This is sort of my own invention. It's a Plaza Burger, Italian style, with New Orleans attributes to it. It's delicious, and I've got the fries too. But we'll talk about the fries in a bit. First, I suppose I should tell you what's going on here, shouldn't I? Well, the answer is nothing, and that's good. That's very good. Out here, I wouldn't call this area rural, but it's exurban. It's outside of the city, and not a lot of crime out here. In the city where I live, people are getting increasingly nervous about crime. They're on edge, we hear. And it reminds me of my days, frankly, back in D.C. Well, it also reminds me of my days in Minneapolis after I came back from D.C. when Minneapolis was pitched into one of its periodic fits of self-immolation and people started shooting each other at higher numbers than we were accustomed to. Murderapolis, they called it. You know, please, when you've come from a city where 350, 380 people kill each other or are killed by others in the course of a year, Minneapolis's death rate was not exactly as alarming as some saw, but it was alarming enough, given that this has always been a fairly safe and civilized place. So it made me think back to D.C. and the absurdities that people would go to tell themselves that they were safe. I would go to a party in a questionable part of town. Mind you, the houses were all $500,000, and they were the size, essentially, of a broom closet on a small tramp steamer. But the neighborhood was great because it had fine access to the Capitol, and you could walk to work and crawl home after you'd been stabbed on your way back from the market. And I would not really like being there late at night because I would have to walk from this person's house through these lovely, tree-lined, historic neighborhoods to the main drag where you'd attempt to flag down a cab. And there are always lots of cabs going about, so that generally wasn't a problem. But your host would always give you these curious directions. You want to go up a block, and then you go to the right, because that other block is bad, and then you go north, and then, jog south a little bit, because the middle of the block is not so good, and then eventually you'll get there. I mean, there are two things about this. One, if it's that clear to everybody, why don't we just color code the streets? Why don't we get out there with a big can of paint and red for the street, the blocks you have to avoid, and blue for the sidewalks that are safe, and yellow for, the dicey neighborhoods that are on the edge of gentrification? Or then come out and say, for example, that there is an invisible force shield that is protecting us from these criminals. Because if you have somebody who's walking along a safe block with the intent of doing harm, is he stopped by some invisible guard all shield, boing, 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 when he tries to go to the block where things don't happen, Makes no sense. And I'm seeing it here a little bit in Minneapolis, where you'll see that a clerk has been stabbed at a convenience store, and you look at the address and you fix where you are, and then you think, there's a highway between me and there. There's a big highway. Granted, it's got, bridges every four blocks, but I'm safe over here. Well, I am. I'm not a fraidy cat about these things, really. Because, like I say, my standard for this kind of nonsense was made in D.C. The first night that I spent in my wonderful apartment, I was kept up by the lights of the police helicopters overhead stabbing into my windows. And the last week that I was there, I observed a man who just sort of threw himself out of his window on the seventh floor. Did a very bad job of it, too. I look out the window, and there's a guy just hanging out sort of halfway, like he's sort of seeing how this whole thing is going to play out. How do I feel so far? I feel pretty good. Let's keep jumping. And I called 911, and by the time I got the one out, down he was in the bushes. And that was my goodbye to D.C. I understood. Anyway, not so much trouble out here at the diner. Not out here. We don't even have any meth houses. I suppose that's because they built the large meth mart up the street. So it's beautiful, nice asphalt parking lot and the rest. Put all the mom-and-pop meth places out of business, but still, I'm not sure it was a really great idea. Well, enough crime talk, for heaven's sakes. It's April. It's a wonderful, clement April day, and I'm happy to be here, and there's nothing to worry about. It's not like I'm going to walk around carrying a scimitar or something like that. Let's see. What do we have in the jukebox today? I wonder what they've filled it up with now. Well, I'm not sure about this one, but never heard of this. Never heard of this song before. Let's give it a try. B4.
Hey girl, you open up this door before I tear up this plane. Hey baby, I know you're mad because I lightly smacked your pretty little face. I didn't mean to do it, but you pushed me to it, and I'm sorry, 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 so sorry, baby. Please, 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 don't think that I'm a bad guy. No, 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 don't think that I'm a bad guy. No, 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 no.
like this. Well, you see, I hear you in there crying and carrying on like you're about to die. But I know a little smack like that, it could make a baby cry. So, let me in.
Well, come on in, baby. Oh.
Let me get this straight. I hear you in there, Carol, sobbing like you're about to die, but I know a little smack like that couldn't make a baby cry. Whereupon she promptly lets him in. Come on in, baby. Man, the things I do not know about women. Although chances are that if a guy is standing outside your door, you know, midnight, pounding, saying, "Don't think that I'm a violent guy," chances are he just might be. I mean, look how he's phrasing it. He's not saying, "I'm not a violent guy." He's saying, "Don't think that I am one just because I hit you." But of course, if his pounding is synchronized to the strings, he can't be all that bad. Although he may have a temper, that one, but he's got a good producer. You know, I wonder if they've stocked the jukebox with a lot of violent-themed songs here to reflect a city on edge. Well, I wouldn't say the city's on edge yet, but it's nervous. No, the city will be on edge this summer. At the first sign of any sort of increase in crime, what are we going to have? That's right, all together now, a long, hot summer. That's what they always say. Doesn't matter whether or not the median temperature has been 7 degrees below normal. The first time somebody pops off around somewhere, we're going to have a long, hot summer. Can't wait. But no, right now we're having a long, warm spring. Well, I should probably get back to my burger here before it goes completely stone cold. I'm only about a third of the way through it, too. The thing's huge. Like the size of a manhole cover. It's okay. It's okay. I can't help but suspect nowadays when I eat a contemporary burger, no matter how much stuff is laden upon it, that burgers were better when I was a kid. And I know that sounds like boring old coot talk.
Well, in my days, burgers were much better. 50% horse. Kids today don't know what a horse tastes like.
They weren't better, and I'll tell you why. There are two reasons. One was fat. Lots of it. Man, they had fat in those old burgers. If the hamburger itself was insufficiently fat-laden, I wouldn't be surprised to find out they had a big hypodermic needle of liquefied fat in the back with which they would inject more good fat into the hamburger. And the other reason, of course, was MSG, good old monosodium glutamate. Again, I would not have been stunned to find that they granulated MSG extremely fine and released it into the restaurant through the ventilation system. There were several pre-chain hamburger joints in Fargo that I recall from childhood. And again, we're talking the mid to late 60s here. 8 years old. One was the Crown Drive-In, which was actually quite close to my house, about 8 blocks or so, and it was next to the Starlight Drive-In Theater. If that isn't a mid-century perfect upbringing, I don't know what is. You could go to the Crown and get a bag of MSG fat-laden burgers and then go see a drive-in movie. Or more accurately, go get the hamburgers and then get hidden in the trunk so your friends could sneak you into the drive-in movie. Then there was King Leo's, which was a I think there were two of them in North Dakota, which constituted a chain by Dakota standards. And this one was right by I-94. It looked like McDonald's. It was white enamel on the outside, and it had yellowish parabolas, I believe, and it had a steep, neat roof. It was just a cool-looking place. And the motto, or rather the logo, was a king, much like the little king of Otto Suglow's cartoons, rotund, triangular figure with a pointy cap, and he was walking around holding out a plate of hamburgers. Now, why exactly this monarch had taken it upon himself to distribute the hamburgers, I have no idea. But he did so, and we took, and they were delicious. And I remember those greasy, greasy, crispy, burnt little fries at the bottom of the bag. Oh, with all the salt. Then there was Henry's Hamburgers. Henry's, by and by the sack. Again, a local chain. They even made it down to Minneapolis, I believe, and this was one of those places where you'd get nickel hamburgers. Delish. But the ones that I remembered the most before the chains came in, and I'm even talking before Perkins. This is way back in the Jurassic era of hamburger distribution. It was a chain called King's Food Host. Now, what made King's notable, aside from the hamburgers, which themselves, I believe, took MSG concentrations to previously unscientifically documented levels. I mean, if you did not have MSG reactions going into this place, you did. After you'd been there a few times, your forearms would itch, the back of your neck would become tense and tight, you would sweat, you'd be dizzy, you'd be tripping, for heaven's sakes. I mean, people left that place in a state of psychedelic intoxication that made Haight-Ashbury in 1968 look like a Mormon Amway convention. So, you would go to King's Food Host, and the glory would be no waitresses. When you're a kid, that's great, because when you're a kid, waitresses are a botheration, because, you know, you go to McDonald's, you go to King's, you go to Crown or something like that, you get the food and you sit down. There's no wait. But when you gotta go to a restaurant with mom and dad, you gotta sit there and have the waitress thing. And chances are your dad's gonna say something to the waitress that's just going to embarrass the hell out of you, and you'll want to crawl under the table and take a look at all the gum. You want... So, hold on a sec. Oh, that's in... Huh. I just came in and, this is interesting. I've never seen it. He's apparently he's trying to sell a gun to the cashier. Yeah, he's not exactly holding it in what I would consider to be a safe fashion. He's also holding it sideways. Well, it looks like the cashier's buying it. She's giving him quite a lot of money for that gun. Oh, I didn't know she's a collector. Anyway, King's Food Host did not have waitresses. They had telephones. How modern, how Jetson-esque. You would come in, sit in the booth, and there on the wall would be a phone, red, with no dial. And there was something very modern and even almost mysterious about that. When you're a kid, changes in things like phones are significant. And again, we're harking back to a time in America when everybody had one phone, generally. It was on the wall. And it had a dial. So a phone without a dial was a very mysterious thing. A phone, for that matter, with many lines to me when I was very young, was mysterious. You were a very important person if you had a phone that had several buttons on it. You were a principal, or a president, or an astronaut. And the most important phones had that red button on the end of it. What was that red button for? Was that, if you were one of the authorities... Was that the button that, I mean, if the ants, the giant ants started coming up from the sewers, and somebody had to alert the authorities, meaning the people who would call the army, the people who would go through the streets with the trucks telling everyone to leave, the civil defense, you know, the authorities, that great big gray wad of men in suits with black glasses who knew exactly what to do whenever crisis struck. Maybe that's how the authorities were alerted. Or if you were one of the authorities, that was the button that would blink, the red one. Anyway, there were no such buttons on the King's Food Host phones. No dials, just the voice at the other end saying, "May I take your order?" And, you know, you're just talking to the kitchen 10 yards away. At least I hope so. I mean, at the time, we did not have the assumption that the, you know, that your food order was being routed through a call center in Bombay. It's entirely possible, I suppose. Chain didn't last very long. Good hamburgers, so much MSG, but they didn't last very long. I don't know why. There's one in Minneapolis as well, and it's close to the old Imperial 400 Motel. When I first came down to Minneapolis in 1976 by myself, not my first trip, but my first trip on my own, we were close to the King's, and I think we ate there. But it closed a little while later, became a Chinese restaurant, and it's been a Chinese restaurant for almost 30 years. Slated to be demolished soon, from what I understand, because it's within the footprint of a vast new stadium development that the University of Minnesota wants to do. But every time I drive by it and look at it, I see that building and I think, interloper. I look at the Chinese restaurant with the Chinese signs and the Chinese decorations, and I think, usurper. That's a King's Food Host. Nothing you can do can convince me otherwise. It's amazing the things that get forged in your brain when you add a little MSG. All right, back to the jukebox. Let's see here. Well, this one doesn't have a name, but I doubt very much it's crime related. How many crime songs can you come up with? It's a C4.
They say I'm a fool for breaking the rule of falling in love with you. If it's a crime to fall in love, I hope I'll get life with you. If I'm to stand trial, I'll go with a smile. I'll swear that my love is true. If it's a crime to fall in love, I hope I'll get life with you. You might judge and jury offer my heart to you.
Well, this is interesting. The police have shown up, and the cashier has gone outside, and she is waving and pointing at a man in the squad car. Who's the other one? Look at the one. That's the guy who sold her the gun. Huh. Well, I'll bet he didn't have a proper dealer's license then. Interesting. Maybe the old liner isn't as crime-free as I thought. Anyway, this song is boring me, so I'm going to cut it off right now, and I believe it's time for a word from our sponsor.
Have you ever thought of being a leader in your home community? For a minute, let's pretend that you are. It's an average community in most respects, neither rich nor poor, and with most of the problems that other communities have. But there is one problem that's a little different. Near the outskirts of town, there is a slum area, and you and the other leaders have long believed it should be cleared up. But the problem is not simple, because the people who live in this disease-ridden slum area have no wish to become part of the community. They remain by themselves. They will not mix. They will not do business. And they will not listen to advice. What would you do? Tell the other leaders of the community that what these people do is their own business, and how they live and die makes no difference to you? Or would you call in a group of experts who are experienced in clearing up such situations? Of course you would. Because you know that poverty anywhere is a danger to prosperity everywhere. You would ask the experts to help the people pull themselves up by their bootstraps, up to a better way of life. Throughout the world, this is what the International Labor Organization is doing. It is an agency of the United Nations, which is man's best hope for higher social standards, peace, and justice.
Hey, do you know something? If you stop eating bird's eye beef burgers and eat these cheap ones,
all right,
you'll save Mum enough money to buy me a Leeds United tracksuit.
Fantastic.
I mean, they look the same, don't they?
Might look same, but they don't taste the same.
You can't tell the difference.
Well, I can. The cheap one's yours.
Bird's eye. Somehow other beef burgers just don't taste the same.
Oh, sorry. Coming.
Sorry. I was in the men's room, shall we say. Maybe because that's accurate. You know the worst part of the diner bathrooms? And no, don't automatically recoil into a fetal position of ew. I'm not going to mention anything particularly unhygienic. On the contrary, it's the soap that drives me nuts. It's granulated. In the 21st century, we're rather used to liquid soap, right? But this stuff, well, it's one of those old 1950s dispenser with a little metal wand at the bottom of it, and you jiggle the wand and it dumps this gritty sand into your hands. Which it turns into soap upon instant contact with water, but it's still just... And it smells like 1954. And the towels, also, I gotta say, they're brown paper. So I wasn't done with that. Didn't take anything else. My coffee cup is still here. My newspapers. They took my burger. Probably just as well. I was only 45% of the way through that thing. Had about 8 pounds left to go. Anyway. Well, what did I miss? Anything? I didn't think so. Let's try one more stamp at the old jukebox here and see what it can give us before we... Well, I hate to say wrap up, because that would sort of imply that something had been done and created, when it's obvious that really nothing has. Another week burning up the bandwidth. What's this one? Dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum. Okay, looks new. F7.
You're a dirty rapper. Yeah.
Say, I don't blame you for taking my burger. That was looking pretty grim. I mean, they're all nice when they arrive. No, nothing against the chef, but man, after a while of working on those things, they're just a mess, aren't they? What do you mean you didn't take my burger? No, I came back from the bathroom and my burger was... Somebody stole my hamburger? What is it? What is this place coming? No, that's all right. I'll pay for it. But did you see anybody? No, that's fine. No, that's fine. Ugh, worst crime-related song ever. What is the matter with the jukebox today? I don't think there are any good songs in the crime-related genre in the first place, but in the 60s GarageBand rock instrumental class, no, I think that's asking a bit much. What an awful genre. I mean, Surfing Bird's okay. The first 5,000 times you hear it. But most garage rock, it's horrible. Louie Louie, for example. It's just a dismal song. And the only reason that people like it when it comes on is it because either they're drunk or it reminds them of being drunk. Well, I'm loath to press any more buttons here. I don't trust anything the jukebox tosses up today. And you know something else? You know what I learned? While the song was playing, I was talking to the waitress. Perhaps you heard. She didn't take my burger. Someone stole it. Someone stole my hamburger. Oh, and then that was not somebody trying to sell her a gun before. That guy was sticking her up. He was holding up the diner. So you've got criminals walking in here and holding the place up for money, and then you have other thieves coming in and brazenly taking meat from people's plates. This is a diner on edge. It's going to be a long, hot... Fudge Sunday, I don't know. No, I'm sorry. I didn't expect that here. That's all I can say. I didn't expect it to happen here. In the city, yeah. On the East Coast, sure. But out here, on old Highway 20... Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Hold on. I see somebody outside. And they're skulking. If there's one thing I know about criminals, it's that they skulk. He's hiding behind a tree, and his head is poking out, and then it's going back in. That's classic criminal skulking behavior. I think I detect... Yes, I see a black and white striped shirt, and I see a small black mask over the eyes. Dead giveaway. Criminal. All right, I'm going to go out and have a talk with this guy. I've had enough of this. Borrow the gun from the waitress and from the cashier. I mean, oh, that's right, of course. She didn't buy a gun. What am I talking about? Well, luckily, we usually keep some firearms around here. I need some music to accompany my my adventure here. Let me see if I can find something on the jukebox. God only knows, get more Trashmen or something like that. All right, this looks promising. Wish me luck. I'm going after the bad guy.
Men of the diner, I'm going outside to take care of a thief. A meat thief. Who's with me? Oh, come on! Come on! Have you all learned nothing from history? What's the line? First they came for the hamburger, but I did nothing because I was having a ham sandwich on rye with a little horseradish on the side. Hold the pickles, please. French fries, extra crisp. A little salt, not too much. You know, I got the diet thing. Anyway, if we don't do something now, we will never be able to eat in peace here again. We will never be able to look at our eggs the same way. We will never be able to turn our back on a stack of silver dollar pancakes without fear that this miscreant, this jackanape, will walk in here and take it away from us. Us, from us, what is ours? What is paid for? Or will be paid for after we get the check? Plus 15%. All right, we make our stand. Who's with me? You bunch of yellow-bellied cowards. You there, behind the tree! Show yourself! Show less of yourself. Put your pants back on. Right, show me your hands. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Now! Now!
Yes, I shot the Hamburglar. That's who it was. Should have known. I mean, he had the black and white striped shirt. He had the little black mask. He had the little black hat. He had the big cape. He was making that little sound. A bunch of random, incoherent phonemes. I had no idea the McDonald's had opened up a franchise unit down the road. Apparently they did. Out on Old Highway 23, right next to Meth Mart. Brand new McDonald's, which would explain the infestation of hamburglers around here, which would explain why I lost my burger. Well, the good news is, of course, is that as a copyrighted mascot, he heals quickly. So I don't think I'll be brought up on any charges. And I don't think he's the kind of guy to press him, if you know what I mean. When you actually have burglar in your name, you're not the kind of guy who runs squealing off to the coppers. I just came here for a hamburger. And now I have to go and figure out exactly who it is I have to apologize for shooting the Hamburglar. Why is it every time I show up here, I end up saying sorry?
Two dodos to back to back, refusing to say a word, having a lover's quarrel over something truly absurd. But you're the last of your species, the other animals cry. Make up your differences, do forget your foolish pride and say sorry again. Say sorry again. Never mind who's to blame. There's no sense in calling names, so say sorry again. Don't let a good love die. You could be combined, two hearts intertwined if you say sorry again. Oh. But the dodos remained unmoved, and as the sun began to sink, she held her head up high, and he pretended to think. All the animals cried in dismay, saying, what's the good of advice to creatures such as dodos, who find stubbornness so nice? Say sorry again. Say sorry again. Why don't you admit you are wrong? Oh, why is your will so strong? Just say sorry again. An apology isn't so bad. The whole human race will spit in your face if you don't say sorry again. Believe me. Well, the proof of the animal's wisdom is quite apparent today. How many dodos do you know? They're not even put on display. So say sorry again. Say sorry again. When the last bell is rung, don't just stick out your tongue. Just say sorry again.
Nothing like a little Neil Innes to make you feel better. Finally, a good song out of this jukebox. But why shouldn't I feel good, for heaven's sakes? I've rid the diner of vermin. I've had a substantial amount of meat. And it's the weekend, which I will probably spend here, working on things yet to come. But that's okay. I like it here. Thanks for dropping by, folks. I'm James Lilex, and this has been The Diner for Friday, April 21st, 2006. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Have you ever thought of being a leader in your home community? For a minute, let's pretend that you are.